Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, family in Christ, thank you so much for tuning in. God bless you. So I was talking to Mondo Gonzalez before we got on the podcast, and since I watch the show Prophecy Watchers, and I check out that on TV, I record certain episodes, and it seems like I see him more often. And then I realized the last time we had him on Worldview Matters, it was the night before his daughter's wedding, I think. So anyway, he's got a new book out. I want to direct you to it right away. It's called The Mystery of the Red Heifer, which we'll talk a little bit about today. Israel, the End Times, and the Building of the Third Temple. Prophetic stuff going on, signs all around us. Mondo Gonzalez, welcome back to Worldview Matters. So good to see you, brother.
It's great to be here. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, isn't that funny that it's been longer than both of us seem to remember?
For sure.
Yeah, is that a sign we're getting a little older? Maybe not.
Probably.
Okay. All right. Well, congrats on the new book. We'll talk about that in a minute. Before we do, you've got a conference in October, Victory in Jesus. That's going to be in Oklahoma. My goodness, all those speakers. I was telling you, I wish I could go, but let's talk about it. Just tell people about it. How can they get more info?
Yeah, it's going to be a great time. We have 22 different speakers and, again, most people's favorites that are going to come. So people will not have a lack of options, so to speak. As Americans, we like options. But it's going to be October 9th through 12th, right here, near here in Norman, Oklahoma. So it's not flying in is really easy, Oklahoma City. And if people go to prophecywatchers.com, they'll see the banner there. And, you know, if people don't want to come, they can certainly go live stream as well. So we always try to make the option live stream because there is so many. And many times we have two rooms going at the same time. And so it's like, oh, man, I want to see both these guys at once. So we like to have the live stream option for people to, you know, watch it anytime they want.
So maybe a silly question, but after the conference, are there DVDs available?
Yes, we immediately come back, get all this together, collate them, and do it. And so the DVD collection, for those that like it, will be available, usually about 6-8 weeks after.
Okay, so you don't have to miss a speaker. All right, so that's prophecywatchers.com. So, Mondo, very fascinating story out of Israel, and let's segue from that into your book to start off here. Red heifer that was raised in Israel apparently was disqualified for sacrifice after... This is the headline. After two black hairs were found on its body, and it was used in a practice burning ceremony for priests. And we've got just a very brief video of it, and there it is, the burning red heifer. So explain to me why this is significant and what's going on here.
So this is actually quite incredible because, you know, going back to September of 2022, you had five red heifers come from Texas. Mm-hmm. They were flown over, much fanfare. I mean, it was in the news. You know, we've talked about it. But the ceremony hasn't happened. And so people are wondering, hey, what's going on with the ceremony? Well, these particular red heifers were born in 21. So, you know, they're going to be 4 years old. There is no upper age limit. So people ask about that. There's no upper age limit. But you have to be 2 years. They had to be 2 years and 1 month old. So they've been sitting around. Well, as they discussed having the ceremony, actually, they were planning on having the ceremony in April of 24, you know, a little over a year ago. And then, of course, everything happened with October 7th of 2023. So that put a stop on everything. Well, ebbs and flows. What's going to happen? Are they going to do it? Well, Boneh Israel, if people go to BonehIsrael.com, B-O-N-E-H, it's a group that purchased the cows. And they decided out of nowhere to do a practice ceremony with one of these cows. Now, it was not out on the location, so we know it wasn't the real ceremony. But it's pretty clear that it looks like it was up in Samaria, which is where the other cows are. So they just posted a video, and it was like, whoa, check this out. And there is, I'll just say this, that Boneh Israel, they put out a public statement, Byron Stenson, who I reached out to, He's the one that was pretty much helped purchase the cows. He said, we're coming out with a educational video on this very, very soon. Until then, keep an eye out because we want to help explain what they just did with the ceremony or with this practice ceremony.
Wow. This is fascinating to me. I know you wrote about it and here it's coming. It's in the news again. You didn't plan that, but it's a great publicity for your book, The Mystery of the Red Heifer. So explain, Mondo, for maybe some newer viewers or maybe people younger in the faith that go, what Red Heifer, Third Temple, what's this all about? Can you just give a basic overview why this is significant prophetically?
Absolutely. And I appreciate that because, as I have been talking about the last couple of days, people are make a comment. There's nowhere in the New Testament or the Bible that predicts that there's a red heifer sacrifice and or in a ceremony. And you go, okay, I agree with that. But here's why it's important. Is the red heifer ceremony is in the book of Numbers, chapter 19. So this is a biblical thing that the priests would do, again, going back to Moses in Numbers 19, because long story short, that in order to participate in the temple in the Old Testament, you had to be ritually pure. Well, that's where the red heifer comes in, and God gave this prescription where they would burn the red heifer. It's not a sacrifice, so be careful. It's not a sacrifice. It doesn't happen on the temple altar. It happens outside of it. And so they know that it was offered on the Mount of Olives. And so you would offer this, you'd burn this cow, you would take the ashes, you'd mix it with water, and then they use it to sprinkle the people and the implements and the vessels for temple use. So think about it from a Jewish perspective, like a non-believing Jew. They believe very clearly that they need to rebuild the third temple. We know according to prophecy, not only Daniel, Paul, John, and Jesus, that there a third temple will be rebuilt, okay, as we get towards the end of the age. Well, all that's pretty much in place. But what they do, what they need is, well, we have all the things in place for the temple, but we need the red heifer. That's why they're doing this. And the red heifer coming into is an indirect prophecy, so to speak, that when we see the red heifer get in motion, that's the last thing they need in order to use a coming third temple, and that's the ashes of the red heifer. That's why it's prophetically important. So when we see this happening right now, it is very, very poignant to prophecy watchers because this is the last remaining element for sure. So the fact that they're practicing it right now, they weren't doing this 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. They're doing it now.
Yeah. It's just fascinating. Fascinating. My goodness. So I'm looking at Hebrews here. I'm looking at Hebrews 9. And of course, we're familiar with verse 14, where it says, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal spirit offered himself unblemished to God, purify our consciences from works of death so that we may serve the living God? The verse right before that mentions, for if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them so that their bodies are clean. Now, let's talk about why ashes sprinkled and not blood. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So what you have in the Old Testament, which we don't really think about this as Christians, because we don't go to a physical location to do offerings. We just think in terms of, are my sins forgiven? And we know, Hebrews 10, verse 4, that the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament does not take away sin. That is only the blood of Jesus. And so, but why were the sacrifices then? Well, the sacrifices were there as a rehearsal, pointing to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. Mm. But for a Jewish person under the Old Testament, there was two things. One was forgiveness of sins, but the other one was ritual purity. And so the ashes are meant to fix ritual impurity. So for example, if you were getting ready to go to travel to Jerusalem and you were going to celebrate and participate in Passover or the Feast of Weeks, the Pentecost, but a week before your dad died. Well, you're in the house, boom, you become ritually impure. Now you are forbidden to come onto the temple precincts and to participate. And God says, hey, I'm going to give you a way to remove that impurity of a corpse. And that was through the ashes of the red heifer. So, but as a Christian, we don't need to think that way. And so let me just clarify one other thing is that when I'm talking about this, I'm not endorsing it. I'm not promoting it. I'm simply trying to explain what the Jewish rabbis are doing. They don't realize they're fulfilling prophecy and building a third temple that we know. And so when I get excited about it, it's not for that, because we know Jesus is the final sacrifice. But the Jews, these Jewish rabbis, they don't believe that yet. I believe they will in the future. And so for them, they're still living under the old covenant law. And I think that they're confused in that regard. Again, I don't mean that offensively, but yep. They're still living under the old covenant. But as Christians, we know better. We have the new covenant scriptures that show that Jesus's work on the cross was complete and sufficient.
Yes, his sacrifice once for all. So where's the best place? I know it's on Amazon, but can you get it at the Prophecy Watchers store as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, if people want to support us rather than Jeff Bezos, they can get it here.
The Mystery of the Red Heifer. Awesome. So people can get it there. Just fascinating. This whole topic to me is always very intriguing. So Israel, the end times, and the building of the third temple. The Red Heifer. I remember that story too, when they shipped those from Texas and didn't hear much about it after that. So let's move on here. It's going by very fast, as it usually does. Let's talk about the Sanhedrin, and when people hear that word Sanhedrin, they think, one of the Gospels maybe, and getting ready to crucify Christ, or the different beliefs and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin. But now there's a brand new story, a news item that you sent me. There, apparently they sent a very strong letter of support to President Trump and unwavering support for the president, commending his foreign policy stance, particularly regarding Iran and Gaza. Tell us a little bit more about this, Mondo, and I appreciate you sending this and alerting me to this.
Yeah, we see that the Sanhedrin really began to be reconstituted going back to the early 2000s. And so it's kind of ebbed and flow. It's not officially recognized by the state of Israel. But in the rabbinic movement, they are looking again to this group is looking to reestablish their authority, which, as you mentioned, they were the supreme authority, the Supreme Court, the Beit Din, the House of Judgment that you see in what we'd understand in the first century. So they were the ones that pronounced judgment on Jesus. And so as they're coming to be reconstituted now in our present day, after Israel being out of the land for 1850 plus years, I mean, we're living in, again, very exciting times that weren't here 50 years ago. So what they've been doing is they love Trump. They love Trump because Trump's been friendly to Israel for sure. Mm-hmm. Even going back to his first administration when he moved the embassy from Tel Aviv to Israel. Right. Remember, you could get the Trump coin. They minted the Trump coin as they were part of that. And so today what they're doing is they're basically reaching out to Trump and saying, listen, you have the opportunity to be Cyrus, to be, again, the anointed one, like we see in Isaiah 44 and 45. There's a calling on your life. So they're trying to encourage him to be the one that helps bring about the rebuilding of the third temple. And so this letter is a letter of support to him, standing behind him in that way.
Yeah, interesting, by the way, King Cyrus. I'd encourage our viewers and listeners to read Isaiah 44, 45. I think of other presidents from America that helped in a time of need. Richard Nixon helped Golda Meir. Go back to, Harry Truman, who, in 1948. But let's from this article, it says, in which country in the world do they call for death to America in parliament and in rallies in the streets? And which country is preparing ballistic missiles capable of carrying nuclear weapons? So they're trying to make, in other words, they're defending Trump's recent actions against trying to take out those nuclear sites in Iran. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I mean, they recognize, which against, unfortunately, some of the legacy media doesn't, is that it's no surprise. Iran has said clearly, again, in all of their political statements, death to America, death to America. And so they also know this, that you can look at the media seeks to crucify Trump at every turn, and the Sanhedrin is saying, listen, we're behind you, we're going to stand with you, we see what's going on. Also, thank you for defending Israel, because according to Iran, Israel's the little Satan and America's the great Satan. So they recognize the importance of what Trump has done. And when you have a country like Iran calling for, again, existential destruction, again, the Sanhedrin knows that God has called Trump at this specific time to help keep their existence. Not that God needs Trump. God doesn't. Israel will still be around. But even the Sanhedrin here knows that. So I think in many ways, we know that Trump, like him or not, but you can feed his ego. And so the Sanhedrin are doing that. And so, you know what? What Trump did, I think, was right. And even if you take religion out of it, he was protecting a democracy, one of the only democracies in the Middle East, and helping to keep them, again, protecting their borders.
Yeah, we have to take a brief pause with Mondo Gonzalez. But first, from that article, just to wrap it up, but they also said, criticized President Carter, who changed the regime in Iran and caused great wars and suffering. That's a quote from the article. And then the letter that they sent sharply criticized the Obama administration's nuclear deal with Iran. And so they're thrilled to see President Trump doing some of the things he's doing. We'll be right back with Mondo Gonzalez in just a minute.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily, world news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Okay, Mondo, more news out of Israel. Explain the significance of what they're calling a historic shift where Jews are permitted to sing and dance openly on the Temple Mount. Fascinating to me because of the controversy of, you know, the struggle over the Temple Mount. But tell us about this.
Yeah, I wrote a full chapter on this in my book describing why things are different right now than they were, again, even 20 years ago, because we're looking at things prophetically as it relates to the rebuilding of the Third Temple. And going back to 1967, I will keep it short, but you go back to 1967 when the Israeli army recaptured Jerusalem from the Jordanians. Immediately, they rejoiced. The Jews fled up onto the Temple Mount. But then one of the generals, his name is Moshe Dayan, an atheist by his own admission, said, you know what? We're going to give control of the Temple Mount right back to the religious Muslims. And you're like, what? And so what you had on that day was, before that, the rabbis, even surprisingly, they had a ban. It was an official policy of the rabbinic movement. Jews were not allowed to go up on the Temple Mount. Not because they didn't lay claim to the Temple Mount, because they didn't want anybody defiling the Temple Mount and any Jew to do that. So that was kind of the law for 30, 40 years. Well, then other rabbinic movements began to challenge that and say, no, we need to in our desire to reclaim the Temple Mount and ultimately build a temple, we need to start showing our authority, our sovereignty over it. So Itamar Ben-Gvir, who's the national security minister, what you saw there, when he came to power along with Netanyahu in December of 22, he immediately went up on the Temple Mount and he began to challenge the status quo because it has been illegal for Jews to pray on the Temple. It's actually illegal for Christians as well. But now they, because of the latest political movements, and he has really enforced the police not to enforce the prohibition. So to see them, and that's him right there in the middle, to see them going up and singing and dancing openly, that is huge. It has not been that way ever.
Yes, this is interesting. And so what do you attribute this shift in policy enforcement, maybe, where they're suddenly allowed to do this?
Well, ultimately, nothing changes unless it is allowed by Netanyahu. And so I think what they're doing now, and I don't think this would have happened. Honestly, it was not happening until October 7th. With Hamas doing what they did, again, murdering Jews and babies and you name it, beheading people, all the horrible things on October 7th. And of course, you have the war in Gaza. What you see now is Netanyahu has begun to shift his policies. You see an expansion of the settler movement again in Judea and Samaria, and then also you see now a shift in the Temple Mount. So I think he's allowing Itamar Ben-Gvir to push on this status quo. So that is huge. I think it's 100% in response to showing Israeli sovereignty over the Temple Mount, and it began really with October 7th.
Mm-hmm.
That's a response.
Yep. So I want to jump to the next topic. It's not really a different topic, but and that is understanding Christian Zionism. And what you sent me, a sentence from an email that you sent me, many in the church don't understand what it means to support Israel and also to be critical when warranted. So in other words, we don't have a blanket support for everything Israel does. It's a secular nation, but biblically, we know they're God's chosen people. Talk to us briefly about just that support and understanding Christian Zionism, because there's a lot of confusion out there, even in the church.
Yeah, there really is. And somebody said recently, I was around him, they said, you know, one of the false doctrines of the church is Christian Zionism. And then I asked another gentleman, I said, what's your definition of Christian Zionism? And he said, well, it's Israel can do whatever they want. And as a Christian, I have to support it. I was like, well, if that's Christian Zionism, then I'm not one of those.
Help me out.
So, yes, let's summarize it, because this is very confusing. When we talk about Israel being God's chosen people, that doesn't mean that they're saved, okay? It means chosen in the Bible means to be separate. And yes. Today, when we see God has brought the Jewish people back, they're living in the land of Israel. They are currently not in a state of salvation. They're in a state of rejection of Jesus Christ. Salvation is only through him. And so what I tell people is we're in biblical times. And what I mean by that is, for example, if you go to the book of Judges, it says there that everybody did what was right in their own eyes because there was no king in Israel. So we see it's horrible when you read the book of Judges. They're cutting up concubines and sending them. It's just horrible. You read it. Yeah. But here's the thing. Did they stop being God's chosen people during the book of Judges? No. Mm. Was the whole state of the nation of Israel saved? No. Never in history, even with Israel, have nations been saved collectively or corporately. It's always individual salvation. Right. But Israel was separated from, again, the nations of the world. They were God's people, but you still had to be saved individually. So that's really important. Chosenness there corporately does not mean salvation. So when we look at Israel today, why do I support Israel? Well, I support Israel's right to the land because God made promises in Deuteronomy 9. To them, to the patriarchs. But that doesn't mean that everything that this secular nation is doing is right. And I have no problem criticizing Israel as a state when they do something wrong, and even criticizing their rejection of Jesus. So, but if you say, do you believe they have a right to the land? That, yes, they do. Mondo, do you believe, well, do they deserve to be there? They've never deserved to be in the land. Read Deuteronomy 9. Ever, 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 ever. So, I think if we make a distinction that as a Christian, I support God's promises to Israel and that there is a future for them. Yes. Right now, they're in a state of rebellion.
Yep.
But in the future, Romans 11:26, all Israel will be saved in the future.
I'm glad you had me at the very beginning. Great explanation, by the way. Thank you. Chosen or separated, not saved. That's very important distinction. So finally, one more article we can get to before we run out of time, and that is, sheikhs in Hebron make unprecedented call to break from Palestinian Authority and seek peace with Israel. Mondo, this is another one of those kind of, I guess, head scratcher, but eye opener. All right, tell us about this.
This is a really an actual phenomenal breakthrough. And I think this, again, this challenges oftentimes the narrative of what you see, that the Palestinian Authority, the PA, is what handles all of the administration in what is known as the West Bank or Judea and Samaria. And then, of course, Hamas got voted in 2007 down in Gaza. So the PA and Hamas, the Gaza Strip, have really operated as two separate entities, for sure. You could almost call them two states in a sense, even though they're not an official state. But in Hebron, which is in Judea, these families, these sheikhs who are, again, they are serious Muslims. These are not woke. They're not left, you know, in the sense of liberal Muslims. They have come to realize the PA is corrupt. We don't want anything to do with them. And so we are reaching out directly to Israel. This isn't a small group. This represents 500,000 people.
Wow.
Which is a big chunk. Israel only has 9 million. And so this is a big chunk of the population. But for them to seek to normalize relations with Israel and possibly even be annexed in some degree, allowing them to come under the umbrella and protection of Israel proper rather than the Palestinian Authority, I mean, this is absolutely tremendous, especially when you think about the addition of the Abrahamic Accords, that whole idea.
Yeah, wow. It just some of these things that it's hard to keep up with everything. But when you see stories like this and headlines, you're going, things are shifting. And I know it starts in the spiritual first, and then it's, you know, manifesting here. But just from the article, under the plan outlined in the letter, the proposed Emirate of Hebron would recognize the state of Israel as the nation state of the Jewish people. You read that, and you go, oh my goodness, that's astounding, isn't it?
It's unprecedented, but it's not surprising. And I'll make a comment here that a lot of people ask, well, is this part of, you know, the Daniel 9:27, you know, the covenant with the Antichrist? And I don't think so at all, because in fact, Daniel 9:27, I don't think that's a peace agreement. There's nothing in there that says it's a peace agreement. I think this is contributing more prophetically to the circumstances that we see in Ezekiel 38, where you have a war with Russia, Turkey, and Iran coming against Israel, because it describes there that as that war approaches, Israel's going to be in a place of security, dwelling, it doesn't use the word peace there, but relatively quietly and securely. Wow. So all of this Abrahamic Accord discussion and this, things are shifting in Israel's favor here to come to that, I think, that prophetic requirement.
Wow. So it's just very, very interesting. Great information, Mondo. I really appreciate your work. Prophecywatchers.com. The conference coming to Norman, Oklahoma in October. And make sure, friends, you check out at the website, The Mystery of the Red Heifer, brand new book. I mean, just in the past several months, it's great information in there. And talk about timely, with especially with that story, with the ceremony that just happened. This is really interesting. So, brother, we really appreciate all you do. And we'll have to connect again in the near future and not wait again, because there's so much that goes on. It's just great to get this information out there. So thanks, brother, for all you do.
Amen. Thanks for having me.
You're most welcome, Mondo. All right, friends, so much going on, and we don't need to keep up with everything in the world, but just be discerning, be rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word, and look through that biblical lens. Cast your cares over on the Lord and just do your work as an ambassador for Christ. Let's not get out of our roles as believers in this day and time. But thank you again for watching, listening, and sharing. God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.